This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. It's Friday afternoon, so it's our Doctor in House segment with my co-host, consultant urologist, Dr. George Lee. How are you, George?
Happy Friday. I'm very excited. Well, in some way excited, even though we're talking about COVID. Last week, we mentioned that in 2022, we're hoping to do less and less shows on COVID, but we can't run away from many facts that needs clarification, right?
Yes, and so many new developments still being reported. We are looking at the impact of Omicron, and we are seeing some other countries deal with quite a bad impact of their, you know, high waves of cases. So we want to see what we need to keep our eye on, especially as everyone is coming back to economic activities, right? Workplaces, schools, travel, all sorts of activities are really gaining momentum right now. And I think testing is a big thing that has been mentioned together with the resumption of these kinds of activities. So the National COVID-19 Testing Strategy was launched late last year to help the idea was to help the country transition to living with COVID as an endemic disease. So the testing strategy is meant to enable safe reopening of the economy and social sectors. It's supposed to empower us to live safely and reduce transmission of COVID-19. So is it able to do all that? That's what we want to find out. How can we use a testing strategy like this? How can it be improved? And joining us, George, to discuss that is Professor Dr. Victor Ho, Professor of Occupational and Environmental Health and a public health medicine specialist from University of Malaya. Prof. Victor, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, thank you, Cecile, and good afternoon, George Lee. Nice to be here again.
Yes.
To see all of you and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, indeed. And so we are opening our lines for listeners to call in with their questions, anything related to testing particularly. The number to call is 03-7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Now, just to set the stage, we did a poll on Twitter for the past day or so. And we were asking our followers on Twitter, how often do you do a COVID-19 self-test? And just to, I guess this is a bit of a dipstick, but just to get a gauge of what people out there are doing, the highest proportion saying only when it is needed, that's about 63%. About 20% say they do it once a week, 14.5% saying they do it once every fortnight, 2.8% saying they do it once a month. We do have a number of comments as well. And just to, I guess, give you a very brief idea, quite a lot of people have commented to say that they do it once a week, either because they are meeting up with different groups of people, relatives, friends, family, and they say that they want to be safe. Some are doing it once a week because of their company's requirements. So I think we'll get a little bit more into that later, Prof. Victor, to find out, is this really necessary? What value does this kind of testing bring to us? But I think just a quick recap on tests first, Prof. Victor. We've got the rapid, which everyone sort of knows about right now. Of course, we've got the PCR, which everyone knew about when the pandemic started. You want to just quickly distinguish the different kinds of tests for us?
Okay, so we got two types of rapid tests, correct? We have rapid tests for antigen and we've got rapid tests for antibody. So there's two types of rapid tests. That means there's two types of kits available. So rapid test means there are kits available that you can use it either from consumer perspective or from a clinical perspective. They can actually do it at on site, basically point of site testing. All right, so that is what is called rapid test. And rapid test basically for the antigen rapid test, basically it will be positive for the first few days until around 10 to 15 days. You will find positive from after you have exposed to the COVID-19 after you get infected. And of course, the antigen would only be, antibody will come in only after a few days, and then you continue to stay on for a longer period of time. And of course, the most accurate and the most gold standard is still PCR testing. And of course, it's the nasopharyngeal PCR testing when you put in the swab to the nose and also the pharynx itself.
So, Victor, obviously, the people need to choose between antibodies, rapid antibodies, or rapid antigens. How do they make that decision?
Basically, it depends on what you want per se. But most of the time, if you see the antigen actually comes in before the antibodies actually they are detectable. So if you want to know whether you have the disease currently, then you take antigen. But you want to know whether you have been infected before, then you use RTK antibody. So if you take RTK antibody testing also, it doesn't mean that you are infective currently. It's just that it shows that you have been infected before, and you might not know where the infection comes from.
So essentially, what question you want to ask in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it might not be useful if you want to know whether you can go out with your friends or not if you want to take RTK antibodies.
All right, so antigen, RTK antigen, the rapid antigen test is the one that is quite widely commercially available right now, and a lot of people are using for self-testing at home, right?
Now there's, I think, around 90 kits being approved by our authority.
Mm-hmm.
And why are there so many bodily fluid or, you know, surfaces that you need to rub? So, like, you know, some use saliva, some use kind of like a nasal swab. And then, so can you tell the listeners out there what's the difference, and also what sort of like accuracy are we looking at?
Basically, if you use both nasal and pharyngeal swab, and your throat swab, that is what we do for PCR. Of course, that is the most accurate because you swab in two areas, and then you are more likely to pick up any bodily fluid and any organism. Because sometimes when you swab it at let's say the saliva testing itself, most of the time if you don't do it correctly, you are not there's no saliva there. There's no cells inside. There's just water, and then that actually does not actually pick up any antigen or antibody per se. So that's why there is also an antigen test with where you can actually do nasal swab. All right. But those are nasal swab, not the one that you put all the way through your nose and then all the way back to your throat, which basically it can cause you to cough and cause you to choke, but just the one near your nose at the time. So nasal swab is there. So there's antigen test with nasal swab. There's antigen test with saliva itself, and these are all RTK. That means rapid test kit that you can use yourself. They are available currently.
All right. And what is your view on a lot of people sort of taking their own initiative to do rapid testing and self-testing at home? If from the larger public health perspective, how should we be looking at testing right now?
All right. So basically, I don't discourage people from doing testing, all right? So first of all, because it's very difficult for us to encourage and then discourage, and then people get confused on the thing, and then everybody would be very confused on the information. But if you look at public health perspective per se, testing is only good when, especially if you look at antigen testing itself, antigen testing is only good when you have symptoms. Most of the time, if you have symptoms, it's more likely to pick up antigen testing. But you have no symptom, and then you test it, then you won't develop any the test wouldn't be positive. But of course, if you do regular testing, like a lot of people were saying about weekly testing, then basically it shows that every week you are safe, and then it continues to be safe. So you have one week time frame, or maybe two or three days time frame that you can is safe for you for actually do the rapid testing for a weekly perspective. But just on before you go out to see your friend and you test it, and then you want to see whether you're positive or not, that might not be actually the right thing to do, because that might miss the test itself. You might be positive and you might still be able to spread the disease to your friend.
So on that note, does that mean that the rapid test can over-diagnose or under-diagnose compared to the gold standard of PCR?
Yes, basically, most of the time it's basically under-diagnosed because you do the test itself, and then basically you are not at the point when the test just pick up your positivity.
So on that note, this will need to be taken into account whenever you're doing all these kind of like screening policies, right? Because if you are underdiagnosing, how good is your screening policy? And then therefore that's what we need to look at.
I mean, we need to discuss this in more details, and some of the screening policy I do not agree upon, but we can discuss it in more detail. Maybe I think there's the question coming out later, correct?
Yeah, yeah. But I think this, your point about the value of doing a rapid test at home before you go out to meet with friends is going to probably alarm quite a lot of people, because we have been doing that. It provides us some sense of comfort and reassurance that we are safe. Are you saying that it's just a false reassurance then?
It's not to say it's a false reassurance, but you do get a small percentage of benefit from it, because you if you are really, really at the point that you are positive, you pick it up. But you also can be positive, but you don't pick it up. So there are possibility that you get some result of it, but it's not going to be 100%, and you're not going to be 100% sure that you're negative. So the point is, you're not 100% sure that you're negative. And of course, when you have taken the test and all your friends are negative, then you will engage in activities that are much more risky compared to, you know, that they might be positive and your activity will be less risky. So actually, from that perspective, it is bad. But from the perspective of whether you do test or not, and then it's okay. But from the perspective that when you think that you are negative and you lower down your control, you take risk in whatever you do, then you become very bad.
Yeah, which I think that is the thing that we need to balance right now. A lot of people are resuming a lot of social activities. We just saw one festive season pass, another one coming around the corner. So I hear what you're saying, Prof. To not use that negative rapid test result as license to go out and makan and hang and congregate in huge crowds.
No. I said you still can do it, but you don't do activities that basically you stay in a room and then you play cards for the whole night and then
you Chinese New Year
and you do things in the enclosed room, you know. You don't do that.
Any way that you can do it
in the garden or in some place that is more healthy.
No, you might as well don't test and do it in the garden anyway.
Yeah, you don't test and do it in the garden anyway. That's why.
Which is what you're proposing.
Yeah, which is what I think. Because if you look at the latest finding from how far the virus actually can travel or how long the virus travels, it's only less than 20 minutes. And that is basically close conversation in an enclosed area. So if you're in an open area where the ventilation is good, then it's okay.
Yeah, and we've talked to Prof. Victor before, haven't we, George, about the importance of ventilation in different settings. So there's that podcast available with a lot of very practical advice, I found. But let's go for a quick break now. And when we come back, we'll look at this national testing strategy that we have, this policy that is supposed to govern the way organizations and individuals look at testing. How useful is it? My co-host joining me, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, and we're speaking to Professor Dr. Victor Ho, Professor of Occupational and Environmental Health and Public Health Medicine Specialist at University of Malaya. We're discussing COVID-19 testing. How do we move forward with this? So remember, you can call us 03-7733-2900 or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 to share your views or questions with us. Health and Living, we'll be right back. BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik, and my co-host, Dr. George Lee, for our Doctor in the House segment. We're speaking to Professor Dr. Victor Ho, Professor of Occupational and Environmental Health and a Public Health Medicine Specialist at University of Malaya. Excuse me. Our lines are open. Do call us at 03-7733-2900 with your questions regarding COVID-19 testing. That's exactly what we are discussing today. We do want to cover the national COVID-19 testing strategy, but we're also looking at how we can adopt the approach of self-testing in our personal lives and perhaps when it's related to education and work and all of that, how to do it in a way that gives you the right value and, you know, helps you to conduct activities safely. You can also WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Prof Victor, you have said that we can do the rapid antigen self-test at home if we are symptomatic. You want to quickly run through what kind of symptoms should be red flags for us and why rapid and not just straight away do a PCR test?
I think basically you talk about symptom, basically the flu symptom that we always have, like fever, chills, rigor, running nose, difficulty in breathing, coughing or fainting, but also even muscle ache and headache, all right? So all those things and sore throat and of course the other kind of symptom that is there, vomiting, and when you start to lose your smell or lose your taste, that's where you want to went to, where you want to see what kind of rep, you can do the rapid test at home. And that will basically enable you to know for yourself whether you're positive or negative. And when you're having symptoms and you take the test and you take the test correctly, that your chances of getting a positive if you're COVID positive is higher. That means your positive predictive value is higher compared to when you are when you are basically having no symptom and you take the test and that basically, although you might be positive, but basically because you're taking the test before the antigen actually develop. So the symptom actually is much more easier.
Actually an optimum day when you should take the test?
I don't think there's no optimum day, but it should usually between the best is 3 to 4 days after you get infected. But the problem is you don't know when you get infected. All right.
So on that basis, if you don't know when you get infected, for somebody who really needs to know, for example, they've got older people at home and that sort of thing, they segregate themselves from the high-risk people. Is there a value in doing serial testing on a daily basis since the kits are quite affordable these days?
Serial testing on a daily basis, if you can do it, I think it's good. But the issue is, firstly, you must understand, are you exposed or not? If both of you are staying in the house, all right, you and your older people are staying in the house and you're not going out anywhere, there's no reason for doing tests anyway because you're not exposed to anybody. All right. If someone deliver food to you and he's wearing a mask, you're wearing a mask and you just put it at the doorstep, you don't have to worry because although we started off with saying that there is chances of contaminant or from the getting COVID from what we call from non inanimate object, but actually if you wash your hand, things like that, you wouldn't get COVID per se. So if you are not exposed, there's no problem. But if you're going out every day, all right, even though if you are exposed, but if you practice what we call the SOP that actually we have been doing for the past 2 years, then there's no problem. I always want to tell people that the hospital is not closed. University Malaya Medical Center was never closed, and I continue to go to work. I continue to go home, and I know that I'm safe when I'm going home because I know that I don't expose myself. Although I know that some of them might be positive, the patient or the healthcare worker, but because I know I am wearing the correct procedure, practicing the correct procedure, make sure that I'm social distancing, wearing masks, I am safe, and I know I'm safe. So that is more important because although there is a lot of things going around that you have to wear more masks and you have to be further away, but the current data coming up, latest research shows that it is only when you are close to people and you are not wearing a mask that's where you get COVID risk.
Okay, but you know, if I'm symptomatic, right, and really in many of the situations, we can't avoid being in a household with some vulnerable people, why not just do a PCR straight away?
If you're symptomatic and you want to do a PCR straight away, you can do it, but the issue of PCR takes you 3 days, all right, to come back, the result. The fastest is basically 24 hours, all right. Of course, you can even faster, 5 hours is there, but depends on where you go. But usually it takes you 2 to 3 days before you get the result of a PCR test. A rapid antigen test, basically, your result, you will know the result in 15 to 30 minutes. So that will basically be the first step you want to do. If you are in high-risk area, if you are symptomatic and you are basically exposing, you don't want to expose yourself to your the what is that your elderly parents or relative, then you take it. But on the cautions that even though you take it, it doesn't mean that you're going to be, you basically, is this 100% correct? So you make sure that is important. That means even after taking it, you should not stop the SOP that you want, you close to your.
Yeah, so especially if you have a negative result, still continue to mask, protect yourself, protect others around you.
Yes, correct. Which is basically can be COVID anyway.
Yeah. We have a WhatsApp question from Rusihan. Is there a difference between lateral flow test and the RTK antigen test? Or is it just another name?
Lateral flow test and RTK antigen test. It's just another name for the test. Practically, RTK is basically... It means that rapid test kit, all right.
And the lateral flow test?
Also, it's a rapid test kit for rapid testing.
It refers to a rapid test, right? It's just another name. His follow-up question is, if the CT value is more than 40 in a PCR test, can it be considered a negative result? This is very clear.
Can it be considered a negative result? It is not infective, all right? It's less likely for you to spread the disease, all right? That means you have a virus in there, but you have been infected, it cannot be considered a negative instead that because you have COVID, correct? It's just that the risk of transmitting COVID to another person is basically very low.
All right. So keep those questions coming in. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us 03-7733-2900. So the the National COVID-19 Testing Strategy, and that's kind of what we have as a guiding document for organizations and individuals to adopt some form of testing to help us live with the disease. Your thoughts on the usefulness of a strategy like that, Prof?
Firstly, I would like to congratulate the Ministry of Health for coming up with the strategy itself. And I'd like to congratulate them for coming up with a very colorful and very, very informative, and the infographic is very nice. And it's very easy to follow, actually, most of it, except for the flow chart, where it is quite difficult if you don't understand which one to go, left or right, left or right, left or right. So it takes some time to basically to see whether you are going to be left or right, left or right, left or right. So other than that, it is very good. I think I'd like to congratulate them. This is the first time I see such a very colorful guideline. And the words are very big, so that it is basically very good. Other than that, I think the strategy itself is good, but not everything inside the strategy I agree upon. I think, but that's good in a way that there should be some disagreement in things, but not every practice, because we know that it all depends on how much are you going to give away for. There's a balance between benefit and risk, correct? Okay. How much benefit and risk balance that you want to give away for that reason. Of course, the most of it is basically good. Any specific thing you want to ask?
Well, you know, we can have a strategy on paper with all these different scenarios. And, you know, they have scenarios for workplaces, education, mass gatherings, travel. But I guess, you know, what's the step between having this on paper and ensuring people are able to follow it and can implement it, and that it will lead to the ultimate objective of us being able to live with the disease safely?
Okay, the thing I like about it, the first one is that the positive, your symptomatic testing, all right? And that is basically very clear. If you are symptomatic, you should test yourself, all right? And of course, after that, you should report, isolate, inform, and seek. So the three scenario is very good. So it has been written clearly. And that is basically what people should do. If you're symptomatic, you test yourself, you're positive, then you basically report in my suggestion and isolate yourself. And then, of course, your rest of your family should quarantine themselves, all right? And then basically you come out, you know what is happening. And then, of course, they show the symptom is per se. So it's quite simple. That's why whatever you asked me just now, I just read that because I forgot what symptom actually you have. So that's quite a good one. And also the testing requirement. But the issue is beyond that, all right, of symptomatic testing. Other than that, some of it I'm not clearly agreeing on it, but But they have basically put in very, very detailed requirement on how to test, what to test, and things like that. So it's very clear. But whether people will follow it or not is also a question, because there is no specific, there are basically risk assessment, all right? They say that risk assessment, need to assess the risk. And they give few example of risk assessment, but those are very limited example of risk assessment. They give a construction site, and then a person in the construction site, and he's staying in the dormitory.
Mm-hmm.
And also they give some example of a student coming back from holiday. Those are some examples of it. But beyond that, people would need to still consult someone who understand the strategy, understand the guideline, and give them a good, better advice on what the strategy is. So the strategy, although it's there, very good, but for individual company, individual organization, and should basically have their own and look at it and how to adopt that into their company itself. I think that is very important, because even a big company with all the resources, but you still, by the end of the day, it's still benefit and cost. If you put in money and there's no benefit to it, so you're basically throwing that money down the drain itself.
And so, you know, some of the scenarios, let's say a low risk workplace, which I think can be relevant to a lot of our listeners, for fully vaccinated people, only if you're symptomatic that you will require a test. And that's in line with what you have been saying.
Basically, if you are symptomatic, the thing we need to understand, we need to have trust, first of all, correct? And I think a lot of us lose the trust already about our employee, about our workers. We don't trust our workers. The company don't trust their workers, in the sense that they don't trust the workers to make their own decision. If you're unwell, you don't have to come to work. And you basically, and then testing itself is just additional to what you have to do. But if you're unwell, you don't come to work. That's what we are advising our people here in the UMMC, that if you're unwell, don't come to work. And if you need to take a leave, and we can actually approve it without even you getting an MC for that. But if you're unwell, don't come to work. That is what we're advising them to do. And that is basically, if we have this trust in our workers, I think we should, because they are the one actually going to contribute back to your company, then you should allow them to take the decision. And that is very important. And that's what I always promote, that we should go away with the MC. We should only have a fit note, whether you're fit or not, for to go to work. But we should go away with the MC. Of course, a lot of people are angry with me, because I think MC is something that is entrenched in our society, and everybody need to get MC, even for not going to school.
And we know the MC system can very easily be abused as well. Yeah. Then when we look at other scenarios where perhaps workplaces are considered more high risk, there's more potential crowding, interaction, front facing, perhaps. I think that's where you see more periodic testing coming in. Do you agree with that?
Basically, the definition of high risk is not. Entirely correct. All right. Then because you talk about front facing, which means that, but that is based on the company image. All right. If my image is to make sure that my customer come in are negative, then okay, I would like to test all my front facing workers, so that it protect my image, company image. All right. Sorry. Yes.
I mean, Prof, early on we highlighted a lot of these are to do with industries. As you know, the school recently opened. As you know, also down south in Singapore, that they actually give out lots and lots of test kits for the students to ask them to self-test, and then with or without symptoms. What do you think about strategies like that? And then how does it compare in our own country with schools opening in recent days?
Okay, so our strategy now is basically we test 10% of our students. That's what is proposed, correct? And if you test 10% of your student, it's good, but not for management of COVID. It's good to look at how bad is the COVID situation in the country. That means you do survey. If you do regular survey of 10% of the population, then you will get a number of how many people in the population are basically getting infected, and you will get an idea of whether we need to improve our strategies, we need to change our strategies, strain our plan. But for is it useful for management of the school daily management? Not really. As we mentioned, your asymptomatic testing will usually be negative, and it will not be useful. It's more useful if you have symptomatic testing.
So what happened in Singapore presumably is that they're going to have lots and lots and lots of negative tests, but they only want to pick up a few of the positive that may have the detrimental effect on the whole group of students. Wouldn't that make sense?
If you have the money, yes. And if you have the facility, yes. But the thing is, you can't stop infection, correct? Even though if you're negative, it doesn't mean that you are not going to spread the disease. Because as we mentioned, there's a time frame between certain time that you are positive, but before that you can still be infective. And that is the time that we are worried about. Before the time that your antigen is positive, the virus is already there in your body, and you still can be infective, you still can infect people. Especially currently, we're talking about the Omicron, where they say that it's more transmissible because it is present and it develops and it multiplies more easily in the upper respiratory tract compared to the Delta, which replicate in the lower respiratory tract. So even you have a lot of people, few people positive, yes, you take them out, but are you 100% sure that those negative are negative or true negative? Because the prevalence of disease in your population is very low. So there's no point of doing that. And that is basically, as we discussed just now, it gives you a false sense of security. You think, okay, I'm safe. I can reduce the risk of not following SOP.
All right.
We must also, firstly, before we continue, must congratulate our population of Rakyat of following SOP. Basically, if we don't wear, a lot of people, we still wear masks, you know. You see a lot of countries that actually have problem currently are those countries that do not have this SOP. They don't wear masks and they go out. And that's why this issue of the big numbers in some countries actually because of not the SOP. And in our country, because we continue to have SOP, and that has been shown to be effective. And also from the newest study, it shows that actually you wear masks, you protect yourself. Social distancing, you protect yourself.
All right. Do send us your questions. We are talking about testing for COVID-19, how to approach self-testing or testing for the workplace, or testing if you're asymptomatic. Is that even really necessary? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Call us 03-773-2900. And when we come back from the next break, let's talk about where there may be gaps in the testing strategy and what we need to keep our eye on. My co-host joining me, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, and we are talking to Professor Dr. Victor Ho, Professor of Occupational and Environmental Health and a Public Health Medicine Specialist at University of Malaya. Health and Living will be right back, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik, and my co-host, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist. For our Doctor in House segment today, we're discussing the COVID-19 testing strategy and what we need to know when it comes to testing in our everyday lives, personal lives, activities, and work, education, of course. We spent a bit of time talking about the testing of students because the Ministry of Education announced that it will start that 10% random testing of students. And these are primary age students, interestingly enough. So 10% every week, random cohort will be tested. So do call us if you have questions regarding testing, 03-773-2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Just one more. I know Prof. Victor is a little bit tired of me constantly picking on specific scenarios. I think one more though that we are seeing in sort of bigger and probably for the year to come, unless something major happens, gatherings are happening. conferences, meetings, weddings, things like that. Typically, I would say happening in pretty enclosed spaces. We're talking about large numbers of people. And the testing strategy, Prof, says that if you are fully vaccinated, you are encouraged to perform the rapid test in order to attend functions like these. Is that the way to go, Prof?
I mean, that's the best that we have. All right. But it is not 100% safe. It's not 100% that you're risk-free. So that is the thing you must understand. That's the best we have, but it's not 100% risk-free. The best is to assess the situation and to see whether you want to go to these activities or not. Like if you go to conferences, it's not safe because usually you don't take out your mask in conferences. But when you're eating, you can find places around the conference hall that is less people, all right? Of course, there's not, maybe you can go out to the gardens, and I think Dr. Josh, you basically like the gardens. You can go out to the gardens and we can eat in the gardens itself, all right? If there's great gardens. So I think that's okay. But for weddings, you can have weddings in the garden anyhow, all right? So garden wedding is good. So all those things, it's good. Garden wedding is good.
As long as there's no banjay lah.
No, there's no rain. Garden wedding is good. As long as there's no rain, all right? Garden wedding is really good.
Yeah. I mean, shall we? I'm going to ask Prof one question. So, Victor, if I invite you to a yisang tossing party in a restaurant, it is in a private room, but I did ask all the guests, including yourself, to do a rapid test kit first. What's your response to me?
Basically, okay, all of you have been vaccinated, correct?
Yeah.
All right. And because I like you, that's why I go.
Thank you.
That's all.
Will you test?
I can test, no problem if I want to test, but I wouldn't test because I know I know from myself, I'm not exposed.
Would you say to the host that this is pointless?
I wouldn't say to the host that it's pointless because you want to be happy, correct? You're happy, you're having a happy time there. And I like you, I don't want to contradict you. Yeah. But when are you going to invite me, first of all?
Yeah. Okay. The next question I'm going to ask you, is that risky? Obviously, if let's say we have options for a lot of people now with festivity coming up, they either choose to ask their guests to test or they choose not to get the guests to test. Whatever it is, you know, which one would you encourage them to do, to test or not to test prior to them inviting people to their house, to a restaurant, you know? So what's your advice to them?
Either one would be fine to me, basically, test or don't test. But at the end, it's up to you, the individual, to see, to make your own judgment whether you want to go or not.
Okay, then we'll ask Xiaoyik, you know, Xiaoyik, obviously you can't put the mask on and eat your yisang, and then there will be a lot of masks coming off, and then there will be a confined room because not many restaurants has got outdoor, facilities. Xiaoyik, are you confident enough to go without testing? Or when you go, do you feel more safe if you test yourself and all the other guests test?
Well, previously, before this show, I thought that testing, you know, gave me that reassurance. But Prof. Victor has disproved that for me.
At the end, you don't have to worry about worry so much. All right. Of course, you don't want to go and get COVID, but you need to continue with your activities. It's not about tossing the yisang and eating itself. It's about the shouting and the yamsing and all those things that you do, the lo sang and things like that you do that makes the whole room be full of saliva.
Germs,
and
yes.
full of aerosolized particle. If someone is positive, you will get it.
So you mean in the COVID era, we need to do it a bit more politely, no shouting.
No, you can do it. You can do it. You shout when you wear your mask, and then when you do the lo sang thing. And then after that, when you sit down and eat, you take it out.
Oh,
and eat quietly. Eat in the garden if you can.
No problem. You can eat. Yeah.
We've got a couple of questions on WhatsApp. One's from Sue. From the time of exposure, and like you said, assuming that you know when was your exposure, from that time to testing, if you do a rapid test, is a period of 5 days from possible exposure a fairly good standard?
It's the best standard. It's the median, 5 days.
All right. Okay.
Right. So on that note, there's no point testing, let's say you're exposed now, and then within 24 hours, there's no point testing, right?
Don't waste your money.
Okay. So on the fifth day.
On the fifth day is the best day, is what we recommend on the fifth day, because, but we do test it. We do, if you're exposed, we do test on the first day for certain control measure in a sense that we want to release everybody else from quarantine.
All right. Rusihan has come back with a question again, and I know you did address this earlier, Prof, but let's just reassure him. Which rapid test kit is better, the saliva or the swab that goes into the nose?
The swab one is much better because the saliva is good, but the problem with the saliva is that you are not sure whether it's saliva or not, because it's, to generate the saliva is very, very difficult to generate the correct type of saliva. And of course, when you talk, all saliva, but when you want to generate the saliva for that kit, is difficult. So of course, the swab is much better because you get the buccal mucosa, and you also get the nose swab.
The nose, and then the swab that goes into your cheek.
It depends on which how the kit actually goes, right?
Okay.
Because the saliva is not so easy for some people.
And especially for kids, right? Another question, with the test kits being mass produced by so many different manufacturers, who's actually maintaining and controlling the efficacy standards and quality?
Basically, all test kits in Malaysia need to be approved by our Medical Device Authority, MDA. And there are 90 over test kits, I think, I'm not sure whether it's still the same number or not, but 90 over test kits in their list itself. And all those test kits, basically, they provide information, I think independent information for MDA to approve them. So MDA is the one that you go to MDA website, you can see the MDA approval.
All right. And we hope that is of standards that are high enough to assure us of efficacy.
Yes, correct. But of course, if you want more better one, you can do your own research and look for that one that has tested against PCR and things like that, all those testing. So there are actually research actually on that, and there are papers published on that. Mm-hmm. But you got to do your own homework.
Okay. Some thoughts on where the gaps are in the testing strategy, Prof?
Basically, the testing strategy is good. There's not much gap in that context. But the stress part should be that if you're symptomatic, test. If you're symptomatic, don't go to work. If you're symptomatic, don't go to school. All right. So that we need to reinforce and give back to our people that if you're symptomatic, just stay at home or stay away from other people. That will basically allow us to continue in a better manner.
All right. And I think we do see more awareness of that, people knowing that a runny nose shouldn't be brushed off, and that they are becoming more vigilant themselves, right? I guess the question is whether employers are understanding enough as well.
Yeah, employers should give back trust to their staff that is, I think, lost somewhere.
All right.
They think everybody is trying to shortchange the employer. Not really.
Especially with 2 years of working from home. Right. Just one more comment from someone who said, I feel it's okay to wear the mask and toast isang. Only remove your mask when eating. There you go, George.
Yes, that's what I said just now. Wear your mask
and
shout.
We need to plan this party soon.
I think you should wear your mask and shout your isang, low sang, because if not, then all the slime will go to the whole plate of your isang.
I'm just picturing the aerosolized particles all over the room. So do it in the garden as well, if you can. Final message, Prof. Victor, about testing.
It's the same message that I brought up. Testing is not 100%, all right? Whatever test, even the PCR test, the RTK test, the antibody test, it's not 100%. It is still you yourself taking responsibility of understanding the risk of what you're doing. And you yourself think that, okay, I can take the risk, so I will go. So you got to take into consideration how old you are, who you are with, what's your family, whether you have all these things.
Sorry, just one last question that just came in. Should I do a rapid test after attending a makan with an ex-COVID patient?
Ex-COVID patient, why? You want to do a rapid test for what? Because the ex-COVID and then basically he has been released and he makan with you already, right? And you don't do it. But if you want to do a rapid test, it's basically just for your own mental health is good.
All right.
Because ex-COVIDs are no longer infectious, right?
Yes, but mentally, some people want to do it just because they feel better. I think no, there's no harm to doing it. Basically, there's no harm, but you must understand the limitation as well.
What you take away from the test. George, your thoughts?
Well, I really agree with Victor that when you're symptomatic and then if you don't, just for assure yourself and also protect your loved one, do a self-test. I really think that is mandatory. But as far as everything else is concerned, those elective tests, I guess, when it comes to, there's always a saying that you can have the cake and eat it. I guess we can change that and say you can have the yisang and eat it as long as you mask it.
Yep, don't forget those SOPs. Sometimes I think we get a little tired of hearing about it and talking about it, but we are doing relatively well because we continue to wear our masks and follow these protocols.
Yeah, I'd like to congratulate our people. Congratulations for them to stay on the SOP.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Professor Dr. Victor Ho, Professor of Occupational and Environmental Health and a Public Health Medicine Specialist from University of Malaya, as well as my co-host, Dr. George Lee, Consultant Urologist. This has been Health and Living BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.